You've waited for this moment for weeks. There's been blood work. There have been x-rays. There's even been a CT scan. Now you're in to see your doctor and get the results from all these tests. But when she walks in the room, you can tell by that look on her face, there's nothing good to tell you. "We're going to have to do more tests," she says, "but there are clear indications of cancer." You hear nothing after that word cancer is mentioned. Your hands are shaking. Your mind is racked with fear. Your relationship with your spouse has seen better days. You blame it on shift work. The odd hours make it hard to have time together. You are often like ships passing in the night. But the reality is that something has changed. Something important has shifted. You just aren't connected like you used to be. Your relationship has seen better days. But the note left in the bathroom this morning leaves you shocked, dumbfounded. She says it isn't working. She says she's tired of trying. She says she wants a divorce. You try to reread that note, but the words now are all jumbled. The ground beneath your feet is shifting. You are afraid. It's been in the news now for weeks. Your old employer has declared bankruptcy. The company has been sent into receivership. Some questions are even being raised about the funding of that pension plan. Now, you've only been retired for a year, and you've enjoyed the freedom that retirement has allowed you. Last year, you went to Europe. This year, you're making plans for Asia. You never seem to be able to save much money while you're working, but the mortgage has since been burned, and a year later, you left with a generous pension. But now, that pension, that freedom, is in question. And you are very, very afraid. In today's Bible lesson, we encounter two disciples of Jesus, both with the first name Mary. Like Jesus' other disciples, they believed Jesus to be the promised Messiah, a rising star who was destined to lead the nation. But in the last 2 days, these hopes have been dashed and upended. In a short and dizzying string of events, Jesus was dragged before the authorities, judged by a kangaroo court, and then executed, hung on a Roman cross. Jesus' disciples had given up so much to follow Jesus. They'd given up their jobs. They had walked away from family. They had entrusted him with their future, their dreams. And now, here he was dead. And now they were afraid, hiding behind locked doors. Well, except for the two Marys. These two Marys had gone back to Jesus' tomb to keep vigil and remember him. They had left early in the morning, undoubtedly to avoid being seen. Like the other disciples, they had much to fear. But when they arrived at the tomb, the ground shook beneath them, and a dazzling light show appeared before them. In a flash, a visitor appeared with garments shimmering snow white. "Do not be afraid," he told them. "I know you're looking for Jesus, the one they nailed to the cross. He's not here. He was raised, just as he said. Come, come and look at the place where he lay." Then he sent them on their way to report to the other disciples. Deep in wonder and full of joy and fear, they lost no time leaving the tomb. But no sooner were they on their way and the risen Jesus himself appeared before them, stopping them dead in their tracks. Falling to their knees, they grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Do not be afraid, he told them, just like the angel before. Then Jesus sent off the other disciples to share the good news. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I mean, where have you heard this before? If you're a student of the Bible, I mean, go to BibleGateway.com. If you search under the New International Version, you will find this exact phrase 70 times. It's repeated 70 times in the Bible. Do not be afraid. Now, it's maybe an appropriate phrase to accompany any divine or angelic appearance. I mean, fear is a reasonable response to God or God's messengers. Matthew tells us that when the angel appeared, those hardened Roman soldiers, the ones that were guarding the tomb, well, they hit the ground. They fainted. They were so afraid. We can understand that phrase, do not be afraid, was meant to calm the nerves of those who were being visited. But more than just slowing down their heart rates, that refrain also seems intended to speak into their lives' situations. I mean, take a quick tour through Scripture. When God appears to Abram with promises of land and descendants, a promise that Abram had not received, one that he had been longing for forever, the Lord says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Flip ahead to the New Testament. When an angel appears to Joseph, a man who is quite concerned about his fiancée, a fiancée he's found to be pregnant, what does the angel say? "Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Going back to the Old Testament, when King David reflects on God's care in the middle of difficulties, and we're not sure what Psalm 23 addresses, which difficulty, but if you know David's life, there's just way too many to choose from. When King David reflects on God's care in the middle of difficulties, the psalmist exclaims, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." And then, early one Sunday morning, when two women sneak out to see Jesus' tomb, an angel says to them, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. Well, why shouldn't they be afraid? The tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. God has acted to overcome the hurt and harm to Jesus, a promise that when God's reign is fully realized, will be true for each one of us. But if Jesus is risen, does that undo the diagnosis of disease, or does that repair the broken relationship, or somehow fund that insolvent pension? No. But it does tell us that this brokenness is not lasting, that this evil is only temporary, that God's kingdom of goodness and peace has made a beachhead. He has arrived and will one day triumph over all things. Do not be afraid. This is not just a word for kids who wake up from nightmares. Do not be afraid. This isn't just for children concerned about the dark. to not be afraid. This is the message for all of us holding on by a single thread. Do not be afraid. The promise that brokenness is only temporary. To not be afraid. A reason to live with courage. Do not be afraid. Well, have you ever wondered what happened with those women, those two Marys who first encountered the risen Jesus? Mary Magdalene has certainly caught the imagination of many contemporary writers. They have spun many fantastic tales. But tradition tells us a story that is maybe more mundane and maybe more encouraging. According to that tradition, after Jesus' ascension into heaven, Mary Magdalene, a wealthy woman of some importance, boldly presented herself to the Emperor Tiberius Caesar in Rome. She went to him to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ with an egg in hand to illustrate her message. Holding the egg out to him, she exclaimed for the first time what is now the universal Easter proclamation among Christians: Christ is risen. Christ is risen. The emperor, mocking her, said that Jesus has no more risen than the egg in her hand was red. And as the story tells us, immediately the egg turned red, a sign from God to illustrate the truth of her message. Now, I don't know if this story was true, story of the miracle, or the story of her courage. But I do know this, that since Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' followers have displayed extraordinary courage in the face of all too common challenges: illness, relationship breakdowns, financial troubles. Jesus' followers have courageously journeyed through these everyday challenges that affect everyone. But also, these same followers have taken on additional risks. I mean, look back into church history, and this is a story you'll start to see quite consistently: speaking truth to power, caring for the unwanted. Why? Why, if they're facing all the challenges like everyone else, why would we, who are holding on by a thread sometimes, want to risk even more? Well, I think because we know that if Jesus was raised, God is doing something new and amazing. And while life may still contain pain and suffering and loss, that empty tomb, the risen Christ, shows that God's goodness will ultimately prevail. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.